Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark Millennial Ben, presented by Breaks Plus. And I saw this one earlier. And I like it. Sorry, Texter. You're going to have to wait a minute before we get back to football. Because this question comes in. Mark, did we peg the Rockies wrong? Just went through a stretch. They play Atlanta again this morning. But they've won five out of their last six on the road against two NL East contending teams in the Giants and Phillies playing spoiler. They're not good.
No.
But they are far from the train wreck, 100-loss train wreck that we thought they would be. And right. The question is that I'll add to is you're always talking about building a culture.
Uh-huh.
The Rockies, even though they're not very good, are they kind of building something that they could take into next year and years past or years forward?
You're right. I think it's a big organizational mantra. I know they have looked at themselves critically. I know that they have looked at the way they run their business model critically. Here's the great thing about the Rockies. What are they, 68 and 78 or something?
68 and 78.
Okay.
They will not lose 100.
No.
I won't even lose 90.
No. So here's the thing about them that I think is wonderful, is they are very competitive on the field. Like, there's a culture of toughness. There's a culture of not backing down. There's a culture of, we may not be the most talented out here, but you're going to have to beat us. And that's the kind of culture that can permeate the walls of a building. When you have there's no rolling over. And my thought process is that's a great place to start, man. That's a great starting place. Great starting place. So I'm impressed, man. I'm impressed with what they've been able to accomplish. Because I was on the 100 loss band.
Oh yeah, historically bad.
Yeah,
and they gave us every reason to believe that. I mean, it wasn't like we were unfair to them early on. They backed up our reasons for thinking that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're 15 and 12 in their last 27 games, 68 and 78 overall. And sure, there is a lot of work to be done during the offseason, and we'll see how serious they are about adding on to this. But you're right. There would seem to be a little bit of a culture being built there.
Right.
A lot of credit goes to your pal, Bud Black.
Yeah, but
I haven't had to play the song in a while.
Bud Black, to me, has done a great job of taking a team that should have lost 100 games and getting them to play in a way in which they're competitive every night. Like, if you went on and made changes, wholesale changes within an organization, Bud Black would be the last guy you'd need to change.
I agree.
I think he's done a great job.
I agree. Yep. All right, now we'll see what they do. We'll see how they add to the team. We'll see what they do with Trevor Story, John Gray, some of their other free agents. CJ Crone, guys like that. Guys that they could have easily traded at the deadline, get some prospects, didn't. Is that all with the plan of bringing them back?
Mm-hmm.
Or just letting them walk? Okay. Another bonus question here for you. Oh, that's a good one for me, actually. From JD and Firestone. It says, bacon meatballs, bacon gristle fat. Mike, what are you going to do when you get home and find two of the meatballs missing?
Whoa. Oh. Could you imagine?
Oh, man. If my son took two of those meatballs.
Although you would have to. There's part of you that would be really pissed, and there's part of you that might shed a tear like my little shaver's growing up.
It's true.
What if you found all four meatballs gone?
Oh, man. Now we're like full of cats in the cradle here.
Are you making us sleep outside?
Son, you're out. You're gone.
What?
I'm 14. I don't care. You're gone. Hard knocks, baby.
All four gone?
You're right.
That would be a dilemma.
Yeah, oh, no, that would. You know what I'd have to do? Go out and buy meatballs.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
I would not, look, I'm having meatballs later.
Okay. You already, your mind is set up.
My mind is already. I'm having meatballs later. So right. Where I get
all the meatballs.
Where I get those meatballs? I can't say for sure, but I will be having meatballs.
Do they have all the
hot meatballs, by the way?
Right. Do they have, gotta try a cold one. Do they have those, like you ever go to Whole Foods where they have that great, like, salad bar? They'll have meatballs and stuff on that. Cause they quit, like, serving publicly meatballs, but meatballs are.
Might be the perfect food.
Maybe of all balls, the meatballs might be the best balls.
Amen, man. Amen.
I have Adam Schefter from ESPN on the line. He heard a rumor.
Oh, great. Tell Schefter to stick his rumor up.
Sonny.
Adam Schefter, our NFL insider from ESPN, is presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Mike and Stink. How are we doing today?
Oh, we're doing good. The Broncos head down to Jacksonville. Is Jacksonville as much of a cultural mess as it seems to be on the surface, or are they actually kind of squaring things away? And how long will Urban Meyer be there?
Boy, that's a loaded question.
First and foremost, are you doing that game? Because I noticed you were doing the game last week, and that must be kind of cool to do the team, the game with the team in your hometown that you once played for. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, no. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. It was cool to do the game. I've got San Fran at Philly. So that's kind of like a hometown reunion for me as well, because I'll get on the blower with Kyle Shanahan and, you know, some of it will be football talk and other of it will be reminiscing, you know, going down memory lane. So it's kind of, that's always a fun one for me, is to sit down with Kyle. And you know, you've talked to Kyle. He is about as direct. He's probably the most direct coach I talk to when it comes to, he'll give it to you straight, no shooter. I mean, or no chaser. Agreed. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He is as transparent as he can be. And by the way, you know, I often read through the transcripts of his press conferences. Yeah. I just want to hear how he's saying things. And we've talked about some of that stuff, you and I, before, but he's very honest in those press conferences, just very honest. So that's kind of thing. So, but anyway, to get back to Jacksonville, look, you know, when you got a college guy coming in to the pro game, he's getting used to it. They're getting used to it. There's just a transition period that's going to occur. And it's going to occur on a team that was drafting number one overall for a reason, that was not very good, that is not very good right now. So, look, to me, this is a really nice spot for Denver to be able to try to get to 2-0. Now, this is not a layup. Like, there are no road games that are layups. But if Denver could find a way to win this game in Jacksonville, and now you start the season with two road games and you're 2-0, I don't care who it's against, you're still 2-0 with two road wins. That's a huge advantage.
Adam, do you have any theories as to why college coaches traditionally struggle when they make the jump to the NFL?
Well, look at the guys who have made the jump, right, that have succeeded. Like, who are the guys who it's worked out with? Jimmy Johnson, it worked out with. That's one that I could think of right away. Chip Kelly started out really quick, and then
Pete Carroll.
It seemed like it crashed.
Yeah, Pete Carroll struggled early on, went to college, then succeeded.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, I think Jimmy Johnson had a great team. He had Troy Aikman, and Pete Carroll had, you know, Russell Wilson when he went there. And so I don't mean to overly simplify it or anything, but honestly, good coaches are very important, but oftentimes they're only as good as their players. And if you don't have a good quarterback, you're not going to succeed. How many coaches have made the jump who had a great quarterback and didn't make it? Like, even think of Nick Saban. He may be the best college football coach of all time. Was in Miami, they didn't have a quarterback, and he left to go back to college.
Yeah, it is. I mean, they do struggle. There's no question about it. Teddy Bridgewater had an incredible debut. The Broncos looked really good. Adam, just You know what? They just had a report yesterday that Teddy Bridgewater requested that KJ Hamler's locker be moved to him so he could take him under his wing and mentor. Just what are you hearing from the Broncos and what are you hearing around the league about the leadership and the way Teddy Bridgewater played?
Well, look, that's, I believe, one of the main reasons why he was named the starter. Everywhere he has been, whether it was Minnesota, New Orleans, Carolina, he's beloved and respected. He leads the right way, handles himself the right way, and it's contagious. And on any team that has any kind of youth, I think everybody needs to and has to look to Teddy Bridgewater for the way that he handles himself. And Denver, you know, which has really struggled out of the gate in September, Vic had not won a game in September. It was fun to text him after the game and just say, you know, boy, I thought you couldn't coach in September. I thought you were like just a washout there. They wanted to start quick, and they wanted to be sound and not make mistakes and not beat themselves. Well, that's what Teddy does. That's why I believe he won the job. That's what he brought to the table the whole time, the consistency, the steadiness, the professionalism. And that's not to say that Drew Locke isn't like that, but Teddy's got a track record of being like that, and that's why he has been in the league as long as he has and why he's stuck around the way he has, because there's a certain reliability factor to Teddy Bridgewater that's off the charts, the intangibles. And that's invaluable to a team like Denver.
I get it, Adam. Everyone loves Teddy, which is why I brought up today with Mark the disconnect for me is then what the heck happened in Carolina to the point where they paid him to go away. Is this all Carolina's fault?
Well, I don't know that it's Carolina's fault. To tie together the two conversations, we've got a college coach stepping into a pro system with his own ideas of how it should be done. And obviously it didn't work out with him and Teddy there the way that they would have liked. And so Carolina thinks it can get better at quarterback. Look, Teddy is not the most gifted quarterback in the league. Denver's in a division with two of the most gifted quarterbacks in the entire sport. And that's always going to be a challenge as long as Teddy's the quarterback. And I think that's the way that Carolina felt. I'm not making Teddy to be an all-world quarterback, but in terms of the intangibles, yes, he's all-world on the intangibles. All-world is a leader. And so you take your victories where you can get them. Denver didn't have the first overall pick with an opportunity to go draft Trevor Lawrence. So Teddy Bridgewater was the guy that just felt like it was comfortable moving forward with. Carolina felt like he could upgrade there from a talent standpoint. And we'll see how it works out for both sides.
Last one, Adam. In your conversations with people around the league, what was the consensus of what was going on with Aaron Rodgers? What is going on with Aaron Rodgers after that debacle last week? A lot of people just kind of whispering that things just don't seem right with him, that he looks weird, he sounds weird, he's doing weird things, and then goes out and plays the way he did.
Well, before I answer, I want to hear Stink's take, because Stink has a relationship with the guy, too. So what do you think, Stink?
I think it's disrespectful to football to think that you can have, you know, off-season vitriol to the organization, that you can be mad, that you can take all that time away without being really focused. You've got to be so myopic in your focus when it comes to the football season. And I think he's human. Now, I think he'll rectify it? Yeah, absolutely. But I think all those things weigh on you, and they weigh heavy on you. And, you know, people always talk about the football field being a sanctuary, Adam. Things had to be right at home for me because I'd take it on the football field with me. It wasn't a sanctuary. I had to have everything right, all my ducks in a row, if I was going to be at my peak performance on Sunday. So I think all those things happened to Aaron. That would be my takeaway.
When you say right at home, you mean with like family, wife, kids, Lisa,
right? Yeah, exactly. I think all that stuff I think my life needs to be squared away. Otherwise, you know, I tend to worry or get anxious about that stuff. And I think there was, you know, obviously there's some vitriol that was directed toward the organization from Aaron because of his feeling of lack of respect. And I think he probably carried some of that this offseason.
You know, I think to me, Steve Young on Monday Night Countdown was talking about how Aaron was very zen-like, right? And it looks like, you know, he spent a lot of time out west during the offseason, yoga, vacation in Hawaii, whatever it may be, right? Just very relaxed, chill. And sometimes maybe, you know, Steve was saying that, you know, that Zen vibe is something that maybe the team picked up on. And I would just say this, Aaron Rodgers, I think, is 38 years old. You know, we all go through various phases in our lives and our careers. And you know, he's in a different phase of his life, a different chapter where he got engaged. He was living away from football. He was exploring Jeopardy. And not that he doesn't love football, not that he's not incredibly gifted, but was he all in on football the way that a lot of people are during the offseason, to the point where, okay, you know what, maybe you're not going to come out and come rolling into the opener. Still think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the game. I still think they're going to win. I still think he's going to get it turned around. But to your point, I guess, think it's probably not practical nor realistic to think that you can just come out week one. We're so used to seeing him be so great for so long that you just expect it every time. And so when he has a down week, which everybody has, you start saying, well, what's wrong? And when it comes in week one, after an offseason like that, everybody starts to make the connections. Now, they play Monday night at home against Detroit. If they play anything close to that way again Monday night and lose, boy, there's a lot to talk about. But I just don't believe that's going to happen. I think they're going to come out, win that game, and all will calm down in the world of Green Bay, and they'll get back on track here. But I understand your points. I've heard other points. And I just think, look, 38, different. He's at a different time in his life right now.
There's no question about that. Adam, you're the best, man. Enjoy week two. It's it was a great kickoff weekend. There's no question about it. Enjoy week two.
Enjoy Frisco, Philly, stink, and we'll talk next week. Mike, thanks. Mark, thanks. Appreciate it, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right. There he goes. Adam Schefter. He is presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Frank Caliendo.
Oh, Frank.
The very funny Frank Caliendo, who's going to be in town this weekend, is going to be joining us coming up at 8:30. Very funny guy. He put a couple things out over the weekend. So that cat, the cat hanging from the upper deck in, what was it, Miami, right?
I don't know where it was, but it was awesome.
The cat's hanging there. And it all ended well. The cat ended up being okay. It fell, but it was caught. Cat's fine. Frank Caliendo did Pat Summerall and John Madden
on the call.
On the call of that. Hilarious. And then he broke out like, I don't know, 8 or 9 of his characters, his voices, in reading a Kirk Herbstreit book that may have been his best work ever.
It made me want to write a book just so I could have him narrate it. But that would take work and effort on my part. And then I thought to my, I only thought for about, like, it was a split second. It was a fleeting thought. Cause then I realized, wait a minute. That means you're going to have to do
work. You're not going to write a book.
No.
But you have such a childlike mind that I think you could, like, recite, you know, talk to somebody and, you know, recite the book and they could write the book. You would just go off on like a stream of consciousness and people, you know, somebody would be there just jotting down notes and they could probably write a great children's book based on your rambling.
It's just a children's
book. Just a children's book. What did you think I was going to say? Like, War and Peace?
Yeah, something that would.
Serious and really, thought-provoking.
Yeah, really add to society.
A tome? No,
not
no,
so much.
No.
You're more about like a Dr. Seuss book.
Right.
Right?
With plenty of pop-up pictures.
Yes. Yeah, that makes sense.
You embrace that.
Sure.
This is not an insult, by the way. I think we'd all be better if we had more childlike qualities that we carried with us into adulthood. You've got loads of them.
I'm making up for the rest of you.
That's right. You did.
It's my lot in life.
That's right.
I need to be able to take this on for you guys.
I like this one. So whenever Mark didn't play well, it was because there weren't cold leftovers in the fridge. I get it now. Tim and Foco. Things weren't right at home.
That's right.
You didn't have your cold cuts.
Henceforth the name.
Took it with you onto the field.
Yeah. Didn't get no cold cuts.
So Frank Caliendo
doesn't love me.
Frank Caliendo, join us. You're coming up in about 12 minutes. All right, so should I just let the whole... So we just need to take the whole Teddy Bridgewater experiment in Carolina and just say that it was an example of the, well, it was like Matthew Stafford, what you think will happen in LA this year will shine a bright light on just all the dysfunction that is exist in Detroit for the last decade plus, right. And Matthew Stafford is going to be absolved of all of it after this is all said and done. And maybe the same thing is being played out here with Teddy after what happened in Carolina.
I think for sure that's what's going to go on with Matthew Stafford. I think Teddy's in a unique situation because this division is so difficult. Not that the one Matthew Stafford is the best division in football, but you're going to see the difference. Like, you have to have good players, right? What's the old saying? It's more about the Jimmys and Joes than it is the X's and O's.
Right.
But if your X's and O's, it's more important than your X's, it's your culture. It's your identity. It's making sure the players understand what we do. This is who we are. This is what we do. This is, you know, it's not much different than your family. Like, you have a set of tenants in your household. This is how the Evans household operates. This is how we, it's how we act.
Tenant number one, leave the meatballs alone.
Don't touch the meatballs.
Don't touch the meatballs.
But, you know, there are things, like, this is going to sound bad, but all my kids would tell you this. I told my kids when they were of school age, you know, starting to get into junior high and high school, I said, this is how my house operates. You're guilty until you prove yourself innocent to me. Because I was a kid once too. And I know exactly what's going on. And then, Mike, in junior high school, you can ask any of the principals or any of the teachers. I gave every teacher my cell phone number. If my kid acts with disrespect, if my kid acts, you call me and I promise you I'll take care of it. There's a standard that you're going to appeal to, and there's a standard that you're going to live by. And if you don't live by it, I'm not going to sweep it on the rug. And you think I'm bad, Mrs. S.
Oof.
Mrs. S is frightening. There's a standard with which we do things. And if you don't meet the standard, you're going to hear about it.
Okay. I get all that. And I probably should leave this alone, but this is, as you can tell, this is nagging at me.
Mm-hmm.
Is why did Carolina not see and not want to continue to build their culture, build up their roster with Bridgewater as its centerpeece? You would think right. For a franchise that is desperately trying to gain a foothold, Matt Rhule, a new coach. Mm. And I get it. Okay, Matt Rhule doesn't know everything coming into the college ranks.
Right.
He was still a very successful college coach.
Yeah.
The man has run multiple programs and done so successfully. Okay, when it comes to being a head coach, he has far more of a resume and far more experience and background than Vic Fangio does.
Correct.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You would think that Carolina, in desperate need of building a culture, building an identity, if everything we're hearing about Bridgewater that people are raving about, you would want that guy at its centerpiece. His leadership, his intangibles.
Mm-hmm.
To your point about the roster, you'd be saying, well, we're getting Christian McCaffrey back, and boy, we got a pass-catching machine in Christian McCaffrey coming back.
Did you see him week one?
Look great.
No, I think he had 9 receptions.
Okay, wouldn't you say, with a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, what a combination those two will form. They only got to be together 3 games last year. What it'll be like this year was 16. Instead, they not only cut the cord, they paid him to go away.
Right.
I'm gonna
ease your mind.
Please.
I'm gonna ease your mind.
Ease my pain.
You want me to, we got Frank coming up. Yeah. So I'll ease your mind in about a minute.
Okay.
All right. Here's the deal. You're right about the intangibles. You're right about the leadership. That's, you would want that as the core, the centerpiece of your franchise. Also, people are right when they say, Teddy Bridgewater has a certain athletic ceiling. And so what ends up happening to you is you're caught between this juxtaposition of great leadership, but we have to be great all around him. He is not going to elevate the level of our play because he's limited. Adam Schefter came on. talking around the league. There's a limit to his abilities, right? So now all of a sudden you say, hey, we really liked Sam Darnold. That guy has a much higher ceiling. And oh, by the way, he's a football junkie. He really understands the game. How much could we grow in that? I will say this. Part of the problem with college coaches coming into coaching the NFL, Mike, the college coach is used to a game which you out-athlete your opponent. That's how the game is played. We got better athletes than you. We've got more space on a wide side of the field. We're going to get our one matchup with a better athlete than you. As I mentioned to you, a coach told me last week, in the NFL, they fight back. They punch back. And I think there's a transition for coaching staffs to understand that we can't out-athlete anybody in the NFL. We have to put our athletes in great positions, but we have to out-scheme. And they lose a little bit of that value.
All right, coming up, the very funny Frank Caliendo. Buckle up. He joins us next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
So as we all get a chance to start heading out now and doing things and seeing things and having fun, I highly recommend a great night of entertainment coming up next Saturday, September 25th at the Belco Theater. It's the Triple Threat Comedy Night featuring Frank Caliendo, Dennis Miller, David Spade. Joining us right now, normally when you hear voices in your head, it's not a good thing, but in the case of Frank Caliendo, it's wonderful. Good morning, Frank.
If you hear the ones that you're supposed to hear, yes, that's a good thing. If you hear some of them that I hear on the inside, that's a problem. I'm just going Gruden on the inside all the time, man. Schlereth, you making faces right now? you crumpling up your face? You like look like one of those guys in the vinegar, one of those apple guys, man. You ever see?
Yeah, you know, because you and I have known each other for years, and you know how I get going when I'm talking to you because I can't help, but I can't do the imitations, but I can do the facial expressions. That's all I've got. But I will tell you this, hilarious, Frank, when you posted, it almost made me want to start writing a book just so you could use all the characters to, and then I realized, Frank, that would require work on my behalf, and I'm not really into the work on my behalf, but that you reading Kirk Herbstreit's book in character is, like, it's as good as it gets, man. It was phenomenal.
Well, thank you. I actually reached out to Kirk, and I said, hey, if you send me the book, because I saw everybody, you know, getting the book for free, and I'm like, I want a free book. I'm
never, right.
You know, I'll read a little bit of it, but I don't have my attention span's terrible. I'll start thinking about grocery store lists and stuff like that halfway through. But it's actually started reading. I got through the book. It's very good. But yeah, I said, hey, I'll do some voices for it, and I don't know if I'll help you sell any books. But I will get some views, and it's got like 900,000 views or something like that. So, but what you just thought of, a lot of other people thought of too and wanted me to read their book then. I'm like, no, I did this for a friend because I thought it would be fun and stuff, but I'm getting people out of the woodwork. Can you read my children's book as Tracy Morgan?
Oh, that's crazy. What's wrong with you? That's make it happen. Not exactly. Is that what the commercial is? I don't remember.
I didn't think about that ahead of time, but then all of a sudden so many people wanted me to do that, and I was like, I guess I've chosen my own destiny here with that.
The Herbstreit was maybe your best stuff, and up until that point, you doing all the NFL coaches looking at their schedules had been my personal favorite, and
The Bruce Arians is so, it's so understated, but it's, you nail it. You nail it.
That's what
it.
I'm talking about, Daddy. And, you know, I'm not even going to let you finish there, Daddy. Make it happen. Win or lose, we booze. Make it. And tons of people think it's Dusty Rhodes. I do this, and they say, come on, Daddy. They say you're doing Dusty Rhodes right now. I said, I'm not doing Dusty Rhodes. You're doing Dusty Rhodes. No risk it, no biscuit. Take a chance, man. Come on. Do you hear the players now? I don't know if they always did it, but they're always yelling, come on, Daddy. Daddy. Come on, Daddy. Like, he says it some, but I say it, you know, you find something and then you milk it with an impression. And, with Gruden's, I'll tell you what, man, I'll start out things with that, but with, Bruce Arians, I said, come on, Daddy. That's what I'm talking about, Daddy. Those phrases get me going into it, to get going. What were you gonna say? I'm sorry.
No. Are there people that you have tried to get down and you just have never been able to, you've never been able to find the cadence or never been able to find the voice?
Yeah, there's lots of those, but you know, they're literally, if you haven't heard me do it, it's either because I know somebody does a great one, and I couldn't do something different, and find my own take on them and be different than that person, or, I can't do it. And there's just lots of those. Until recently, I didn't even do a good Joe Pesci because I couldn't do a young Joe Pesci.
But now that the older Joe Pesci that talks like this, which is almost Anthony Fauci. I should play that guy in Home Alone 4.
Is there 4? I don't even know how many there are. I'll tell you what, man, but I could be little Kevin, man. Oh!
Are there any voices that you used to do that you kind of retired?
I mean, there would be a lot that I would do that with, but people keep, like, just this morning, people are asking for Madden. I had to look it up. I'm like, he's been retired for 13 years. And that's still, either he's that iconic, or I can't come up with anything that good that people can think of something else for me, you know? It's, and it's funny, because I will do the Madden. When I do the Madden, on screen, people are like old. A lot of people are like old, Ben Dunn. But if I do a voiceover of Pat Summerall and John Madden, people are like, nostalgic. It is unbelievable how you are tying the greatest of 80s sports television with the current events and internet of today. It's just Summerall doing a back to pass, Mahomes touchdown. There is no way. A play by, and think you know this. There's no way they would announce, both of you guys know this. There's no way that they would allow a play by play person to speak that little nowadays. They want everything described and fully spoken to and addressed during the game. Summerall said almost nothing. You know,
he's down.
that's all it was.
But you know what? Then I think that the beauty of John Madden is like his pace was what it was, but he is so descriptive, but a lot of it is babble. Like it doesn't necessarily really make sense, but then it makes, at the end, it just seems to make perfect sense in this nonsensical form. And I think you've been able to capture that. There's a YouTube clip of somebody catching one. He spins over here and he does this over there. And it was like, there's no way you would get brutalized today if you said that in a broadcast.
I don't think Madden would. I don't think Madden would. And the reason is because Bill Walton, every time he's on television with Dave Pasch, you know, he's not talking about the game. It's unbelievable. The cactus, the swallow, enjoying ourselves. We know the game the way it is. Look at that sunset. David, I understand where you're at right now. You know, it doesn't, and people like Bill Walton's, on something right now. You know, that's the kind of stuff, that stuff goes viral. I think Madden could. I don't think anybody else could because they would feel like they were being mad. But Madden's like, and he spins right there. And he always had a question for Pat, right? He's like, he spins over. What's that guy's name? The ballet guy? Was that Baryshnikov? Is that through that guy? Is that?
I think so, John.
Now, Mark, see, I actually, and a couple people, I've actually, listen, I don't want you, because of your comment, I don't want you to take this negatively. I said, there's nobody, you can't be Madden again. And I actually said, Mark Schlereth is a guy who finds humor and does some things that are interesting without going too far. And, you know, you're one of those guys because Gruden was the next one, I think, in terms of, If you look at especially the A teams, Buck and Aikman, people don't understand how funny Joe Buck is, first of all. He's very dry, very self-deprecating. That he doesn't do a ton of that on television because that's not his role of who he's been there. Aikman is like royalty. He's like a prince on his way to becoming king or something like that. I'm not exactly sure why, but that's the feeling you get from him, or at least I do. And then Romo and Nance, Romo's the kid in the candy store, right? He's like, oh, geez, Jim, we're going to the Five and Dime store. Like, when I was a kid, it's going to be incredible and amazing. There's Skittles over there, and there's Twizzlers, and here we go, Jim. Tony! And the funny thing is, when I go to my Nance, I work on the Nance, Jim Nance, along with my pal, Tony Romo. See, it always starts to become Adam West to the Batcave. Oh, Jim, this is going to be, I'll be Batman, or you're Batman, I'm Robin, on our ways. This is going to be incredible. I'll put on the tights. It's going to be fun. Here we go, Jim. Tony.
Hey, Caliendo, part of the Triple Threat Comedy Night. As you're moving around the country, we got next Saturday at Belco Theater, Frank Caliendo, Dennis Miller, David Spade. That's
and actually, like, I don't mean to cut you off in the middle of a plug, which I love.
Yeah.
Dennis Miller actually dropped out a little while ago.
All right.
And it's Sal Vulcano.
Okay.
From True TV. What's the Impractical Jokers? So. It's a great show.
Right, Frank, you might want him update the banner there. You know,
I don't have anything to do with that unless they changed it back and didn't tell me. Like maybe Miller's at home going, I'm not sure what's even going on here, Chachi. He just Back to the Future'd me.
You got to follow Frank on Twitter because he'll just drop these like quick little. Snippets of Gruden after the game or Bruce Arians or your play-by-play of the cat dangling Cirque du Soleil style.
You ever been to one of those Cirque du Soleil?
Spinning. Dangling. Yeah, I'm gonna keep doing these Gruden things till people tell me to stop.
Don't stop.
Yeah, don't ever stop.
Gruden, Morgan Freeman.
Yes. That's where it is. He didn't realize, as he called it out, Caliendo believes he's a human jukebox. He just makes it happen.
All right, man. Hey, Frank, love you, brother. We got to roll. It's always good catching up, and I'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, the great Frank Caliendo. All right, let me get that promo right then. It's Frank Caliendo, Sal Vacano, and David Spade.
All right.
Next Saturday at the Belco Theater. That's going to be fun.
Sure.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a good time.
How many voices does he do?
Oh, I'm a million.
Yeah. Seriously, I mean, there have been some really quick. I know, Benny, I know you give me that. There have been some great impressionists down through the. I don't know if anybody. He might be the GOAT, but I don't know if even the other GOATs have done that many voices.
Rich Little,
did a ton, but I don't think he did that many.
Yeah.
You know, this guy's just got
it's amazing.
Dozens, it seems like. Okay, that's coming up next Saturday. All right, we'll try to get this thing back on track coming up here. It's Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. Kind of reflecting on our conversation with Frank Caliendo and him talking about Pat Summerall and John Madden. You're right. You wouldn't. Good luck having two guys like that come along now and try to get by with that style. The Summerall style?
Oh, yeah.
I swear he must have just had like cards written down. Say less. Less is more.
You know who did that all the time? And he referenced it all the time. And it was Dick Stockton.
Mm.
And he's like, I study Pat Summerall. Pat Summerall is the gold standard because ultimately the thing about a television broadcast is the director is creating the pictures that tell the story. So you feel in the booth oftentimes that you have to tell the story. And that's a really hard thing to not, like when there's space, you feel like you need to fill it. But you don't. I have a tough time with that because you know me, man, I'll just start talking about nothing. And
I think there's a real fine art to it, a real balance to it. I certainly, as you can tell if you've ever listened to me, I haven't found it. But the bottom line is Pat Summerall was a huge proponent of less is more. And almost kind of that radio quality of leave them wanting more, or that great television show series quality of just leave them wanting more. Don't, like the old term, jump the shark. Like, just leave them wanting. Just tantalize them. And let the images tell the story.
Listen, I'm not blowing smoke up your skirt here when I say this, okay? You know I love busting your yarbles, but you are the one guy right now. Look, there'll never be another John Madden.
Sure, of course not.
There will never be. They break the mold, throw it away. It's done. It's over. But when I think of the people out there doing what you guys do, yeah, Charles Barkley, but he's in a studio role. I'm talking about doing right. games, color analyst. You're the one guy out there that I see and hear Madden qualities. Now, you're not John Madden.
No.
You would never even with your giant outsized ego, you'd never even think about that. But
right.
You have some of those qualities where it's just, hey, listen, I'm here. I'm calling a football game. Yes, when the football game gets serious and it's close, I will break it down like nobody's business, and I'll tell you what's going on. And Madden was great at that. But I'm also here to have some fun. You're here to have some fun. It's a Sunday afternoon. You're watching. You're hanging out on your couch. You're having a good time. Let's have some fun. And see, you seem to embrace that mixture better than most.
I appreciate that. I work really hard at it, and I think the issue for me is less is more, and I have a tough time doing that. Because oftentimes I see things I want to jump right into analyzing play by play. And yeah, it's funny. I had this long talk with I had this long talk with my producer yesterday, and I said, Barry, I go, I'm getting
Barry in, Landis.
Barry Landis. I go, I'm getting into Philly at 5:45. Get to the hotel at 6. Be there. Because I want to sit down with you and kind of have a heart to heart about what I'm doing. Because you know, and I'm not patting myself on the back, there is nobody in this business that puts more work into studying football than I do. No, there's not one. I guarantee there's 14 people in the world that do what I do. There's not one of them that outworks me. I promise you. From a preparation standpoint, you know, you're around, you see what I do. And I think the issue that you get into is I'm always worried, and I'm you know, OCD anal about the preparation. I'm always worried that I miss something. And so then I miss opportunities for levity. I miss opportunities to just let the game breathe. There are some things that aren't important to talk about. And it's really hard for me. Because, you know, I want to educate the fan on the game. I want to break down play. And I tend to get to where I'm analyzing play after play after play after play. And it's really, like, it really eats at me because I know, in my own mind, I know that I can be as good as there is at doing this. But I'm not. I know that I'm not. And so, you know, sometimes you have these epiphanies where you sit down and go, I could be so much better. And at times I was better when I first did it and had no idea what I was doing. Sometimes I have too much information. Like, you know, it's almost like you should prepare less. You'd be better, right? You'd just be like me walking into this show. Mike, what do you got planned for us today?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rundown. Great. You have never looked this. Hey, folks, this is the rundown. I and Millennial Ben, we spend a lot of time meticulously putting this thing together. It's our blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
It's our game plan. It's our play sheet. And Mark treats it like this.
Yeah, I've never actually.
You've never looked at it.
I don't look at it.
You don't look at it.
Well, see, because I know that I always know, and I know this, and for some reason, because the games are so important to me, I haven't been able, Mike, to, I haven't been able to have the cavalier attitude that I normally have. Like, my thing is, I've done all the work. I've looked at all the games. I've seen all the plays. So I'm just going to react. And it's just a little different. Anyhow, a little heart to heart.
I got to read this one. Are Sting's shoulders sore? Because it sounds like Mike is getting ready to climb up and massage them D-Mac style.
Hmm.
Jay in Westminster.
Boom.
Boom.
What was it? Voluminous.
Voluminous.
Mm.
That the, you gonna work that? You gotta work that. I know you don't have a, you're not doing a Bronco game, so you don't have a phrase that pays, but if you could.
Voluminous?
Work in voluminous for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that like the plural of volume is voluminous?
It tends, if any of the guys on either team have a great set of hair. Like great hair. You could just.
Oh, the left guard of the Eagles. This guy. You remember that cartoon, The Hair Bear Bunch?
No.
What?
No.
You don't remember the Hair Bear Bunch?
The Hair Bear Bunch?
Oh, my word. Where have you been? The Hair Bear Bunch?
The Hair Bear. Is this
recent? There was that bunch of bears that broke out of the zoo every night? Well, the Hair Bear Bunch?
I mean, I know, like the
Hanna-Barbera? I don't even know you. This is me off.
Oh, jeez. Wow. Okay. Here it is. I'm like. Basically comparing you to John Madden, and now you're getting on me. Wow. That's gratitude for you, everybody.
Gracious, that's me.
Yeah, you're gracious. Yeah.
Gracious, humble.
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 Very humble.
I'm somewhere right between, I'm walking that razor thin line between graciousness and humility at all times.
Paul Evans, wipe your nose off. Oh, jeez.
Wow.
All right.
I got to go talk about football.
Go talk about football. All right, I got meatballs in my future.
Oh, my.
I got four of them. They better be four. Otherwise, Papa Bear is going to be mad.
Oh, he's going to be a
three warm,
angry grizzly.
Three warm.
One cold.
One cold. I'll report back my findings
okay. Tomorrow.
Nate and Chad, coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.